بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. A couple of weeks ago, Sri Amdi informed a group of us that the first thing he noticed about South Africans when he arrived in the country is how much we complain. And I was quite ashamed because I recognized that to be true. And this has been a bit of a sensitivity of mine ever since. I must just say, though, I'm finding this a reasonably standard human thing in this age. We all complain bitterly. So our introductory statement in anything is disapproval about something rather than praise of something. So last night I was sitting on a plane coming back home, and the man sitting next to me is a very likable looking Afrikaans man, and he shook my hand in greeting, and within 2 minutes he had spoken about Julius Malema, Zuma, and the catastrophe of the ANC. And I looked at this man in complete disbelief, and I quoted Abdi's words to him. I said, you know, we had a mate who was a Somali, who mentioned this thing, that noticed that South Africans complain bitterly. And I used Afrikaans euphemism. I said, it was klamerie wit brood onder die arm. That means we complain with a white bread under the arm. And this man looks at me and he says, you know, you're absolutely right. We must stop complaining. And then he proceeded in exactly the same tone for the next hour of complaint. So it's like, he didn't even hear. So I looked at this man in complete disbelief. I was amazed. So what is it about our condition that biases our internal and our external discourse with disapproval? This seems to be partly our conditioning. You must understand that every time you disapprove of the world, you're not saying anything about the world. You're saying something about yourself. Because when you disapprove of the other, you're confirming yourself as higher and different and separate from and distinct from. So you're actually concretizing, you're enforcing the boundaries of your nafs. You are making yourself exist as an individual. You're making your boundaries hard. Now, this doesn't mean to say that you have to forgive and excuse all craziness that goes on around you. But to look at the totality of what goes on around you and deem that crazy has to be inaccurate. How many things have to spontaneously go right so that you can take your next breath? How many things could spontaneously go wrong that would stop you from taking your next breath? So why do things go right? So whenever we complain, we by definition have to be looking at a subset of the truth, which basically means we're doing violence to the truth. The human being who can speak and walk and who complains is doing violence to the truth, because it cannot be the truth of the matter. It cannot be the truth of the matter that there's more harm, damage than what there is good. Because if there were more harm than damage than good, you could not be alive. Logically, you could not be alive. There has to be more blessing. We also don't seem to appreciate that when, by repeating in ourselves this comment, this negative comment, and repeating it to each other, We are as guilty for undermining the social fabric of the world around us as the people we're accusing. You have to understand that every time you deem the world around you catastrophically broken, you are as much part of the brokenness as the person who's catastrophically breaking it, like the corrupt official who's taking money, like the teacher who comes drunk to school. Like, we are party to the illness. You would say, how is that possible? Why is that the case? Because things only reconstruct on the basis of a generous intent, on the basis of a kindness. How can a negation construct anything? By definition, negation destructs. So if you don't look at the world around you, you don't have a deep kindness in your heart towards the world around you, whatever you're going to do is going to confirm that it's broken, because it will break it further. Now, how do you find that deep kindness? It is impossible to find that deep kindness if you don't find something to affirm. If you don't find something to say yes to. In this country, we've got so much to say yes to. Let's not forget that people were storing up baked beans in 94. There's another thing I told this crazy fella in the plane last night. I said, those baked beans are probably still sitting in your attic. The country's still here. And there's been extraordinary sacrifices by both the establishment, the Nat establishment of the 80s and the counter establishment. Both the de Klerks and the Madibas did extraordinary things to gift us the situation, this blessing that we have. And what do? We complain about it. Let's not forget that in the mid-80s, looking forward, there were very few South Africans who could see a way out of this thing. All of us saw catastrophic civil war and complete implosion and an irresolvable problem. We're still here. We still drive to work. We still have businesses. We still can feed our families. Kids still go to school. They might not be as good as they used to be, but they still are schools. You can still live a life. So rather than looking at the few crazies who are breaking a little bit now, let's think about the long run-up, the at least 25 years of run-up to this thing that's produced the fact that we don't have a civil war. We didn't have a civil war. There's always more to affirm than what there is to negate, but you've got to take a longer view. When you're looking at the thing in the immediacy, you can always find that blemish. Ooh, you've got a pimple. Ooh, you grew your beard. Huh? Oh, you cut your beard. It's always something you can complain about when you're looking now. But you've got to take a longer view. You've got to see where this thing's come from. And you've got to notice, recognize where this thing come from, what the various alternatives were. Now, I think 10% of possibilities would have put us in a better place than what we are now, as a nation. 90% of possibilities would put us in a worse situation than we are now. If you're looking from, if your starting point is 1980, so why are we complaining? If we don't have the magnanimity to affirm, we don't have the energy to contribute constructively. We can only destroy. So we then become as guilty of the bad citizenship as the people that are corrupt, and we're just doing it with clean hands. But the inner disease is the same. Any person is corrupt, what's he saying? He says, I'm owed something, I've been done in. And why is he saying that? He's saying, I've not been given enough. It's as much an attribute of disapproval and ingratitude as us whinging about the situation. He's just taken a step further, he's done something about it. But understand, the disease sits in the same place. It's an intent disease. And it's an intent to see disease that's an attribute of a lack of magnanimity, a lack of ability to affirm, a lack of kindness. If we are citizens in this country, we have a moral obligation to have a good opinion. And if it's so deeply impossible for us to have a good opinion of it, we should move somewhere else. Allah says He's not patronizing that. He's not. You know, you can do hijrah. You're enjoined to do hijrah if you're in an impossible situation. The place is so impossible, there's nothing too good to be said about it. Go somewhere else. There's an entire planet where you can trek from one side of the planet to the other in a blink of an eye today. But while you're here, find something about this place to love and make that the principal issue. Make that the predominant theme. Make that the predominant theme of how you think about the place and how you talk about the place. You cannot construct on the basis of negation. You cannot. It is like it is based on the love of the parent, that the parent's discipline of the child is constructive to the child and is helpful to the child. If that thing changes, if the parent has hate to the child, then the discipline of the parent becomes a destructive thing. So it is in any relationship. If you don't love the thing, you don't have license to intervene, because when you intervene, you'll only destroy it. Now, this isn't just true for us as a nation. This is true for the human condition in this age. And it's partly because we live in a mass world. It's very easy to be overwhelmed by statistics. You know, if you're living in Pakistan, there's 150 million people in Pakistan. How can I change the world? If you live in the UK, there's 66 million of you. More than half of them don't even believe in a God. How can I change the world? But this is the tyranny of statistics. You don't sit with as a Pakistani, you don't sit with 150 million people in your sitting room. You sit with your immediate family and with your guest and with your friend. Be constructive and affirming to that person. Help that person make sense of the world around them so that they can do something constructive in that world. Speak in such a way that the person has a good opinion. That they walk out the door feeling that life isn't miserable. Rather than being a further pump of darkness into the already ruined heart. So it's not about being the one who changes the 150 million. Because you're never confronted with 150 million. It's the one who refuses to be defined by the illusion of 150 million and always confirms and does what is practically real, which is only ever the room that you're in, the situation that you're in, the people you immediately deal with. That's all you ever have to deal with. You never have to deal with 150 million. We also forget that this thing that I'm referring to is in fact the heart of the struggle of our path. Our path is about nothing other than good opinion. If it's not about good opinion, then I don't understand this path. Then I certainly don't understand our word. Because let's remind ourselves, what is our word about? We start off with istighfar. And what it's saying is Allah cover me. And basically, it's not saying I've been a bad man or bad person, forgive me. It's saying just relieve me of myself for a while. Relieve me of my illusion that I exist as a separate individual. Relieve me of my ongoing noise of negation that makes me suffer the illusion that I exist as a separate individual. Astaghfirullah, like cover me with a blanket so I don't exist. So I'm just like part of the carpet. I'm not there. Cover me. is the Father's covenant. So it's a much deeper significance than just forgive me. And once you've done that istighfar, once you've foregone your own boundaries, your own definitions and negations, because all your boundaries are based on negation, the next thing that becomes apparent is, mashallah, that what there is from him. Julius Malema is Allah's creation. The corruption of our state is Allah's creation. The world that you're in is Allah's creation. And if you recognize that and you watch it carefully enough, then the logical next step is subhanAllah. After we do mashaAllah, subhanAllah. In other words, this is extraordinary, it's praiseworthy, it's something to be amazed at. Subhanallah. Isn't subhanallah how we express amazement, surprise, and subhanallah? All glory be to him. In other words, it is glorious. It is glorious. It's not just okay. It is glorious. It is amazing. It is gobsmacking. It is astonishing. This theater that he's displaying to us every day. It's amazing. The logical next step after that in our work is la ilaha illallah. There's nothing other than him. He's the playwright, he's the puppeteer, he's the director, there's none other than him. The only genius there is. And all of the theater we see around us, including these funny aberrations like the Malemas of the world and our current nightmare of the Department of Home Affairs, this is all part of his theater. This is all part of his theater. Did you manage to digest the breakfast you had this morning? Of course you managed to digest the breakfast you had this morning, otherwise you'd be a sick man now. Home affairs have got nothing to do with that. How do you compare the value of your entire digestive tract working next to some bureaucrat who's not shuffling a piece of paper as fast as he should in home affairs? So if you then did the sum of your life, and you did not equal, on the other side of the sum, an overwhelming insight of blessing, you're doing violence to the truth. Your word is supposed to cultivate that insight. And if it's not cultivating that insight, you're not doing your word with intention, intention and proper attention. As a final pointer to us, the word is nothing other than a rephrasing and a slightly different experience of all of the other practices of the deen, and particularly salah. Salah is a ritual enactment of astaghfirullah, mashallah, subhanallah, la ilaha illallah. Astaghfirullah, the takbir. MashaAllah, reciting to yourself the blessings of your Lord of the Quran. SubhanAllah, the ruku. La ilaha illallah, the sajda. It's the same thing. Your deen is saying the same thing to you over and over and over and over again. Forgo for a moment your arrogance, forgo for a moment your ongoing disapproval of the world you're walking through, and you would see that it is wondrous. It's glorious. You would see that there's none other than you. That we are, we're left, right, east, west, wherever you turn, there's only him. And that the essence of that engagement with him is a love story. It's not a horror show. How can it be a horror show if you're still alive? If it was a horror show, it's the nature of that which is completely overwhelming to destroy you. So why would you destroy it? So it has to be a love story. It can't be anything else. So for a person on this path, we're in the business of happy endings. The kuffar are in the business of tragic endings. Because we know how to rescue the happy endings from the teeth of the catastrophe. The man who's last man standing, fighting the bastion, is overwhelmed, looks as if all is lost, gets the fatal arrow through his chest, lies with a smile on his face. No. They can never govern your right to affirm life. Whatever they do to you, they can imprison you, break your legs, hang you upside down by your toenails. They can torture you for 100 years until you die. They can, one freedom they can never take away from you is your right to define the character of the world around you. And that's all that matters. Because all of it's going to end in the grave. Including the millennials of the world. So what does the rest matter? All that matters is your capacity to affirm. Nothing else matters. May Allah grant us nearness to you. May grant us annihilation. May grant us death before we die. In Allah, 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 Allah,